Well, hello, White Sox fans, and welcome to another edition of Future Sox Live. My name is Ian Eskridge. I'm joined by James Fox. How you doing, James?
Good, man. Great to join you again, Ian.
The White Sox, another week in spring training. We have some interesting quotes to get to. More bad results overall. I mean, not that spring training record matters, but having the most losses in Major League Baseball in spring training is obviously not ideal. And that's what we're looking at. Do you have anything in particular that you wanted to start on?
No, I mean, I think it's strange, right? Because like this might be like a really, really bad baseball team, but there is some stuff that I actually find interesting. Like, I think like the Dylan Cease stuff like is kind of interesting, right? We're going to get to that, like the slept on, like can they be slept on and also bad? Cause that's kind of where I am, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we might as well start with that. So Dylan Cease says that the White Sox are being slept on. And I think he's, you know, more referring to the starting rotation, because a lot of people are saying that the starting rotation is, you know, less than ideal, which, you know, I think we can all look at it and say there's a bunch of names that we look at and we're not, super impressed with. I think we saw Eric Fetty today for the first time, and the first couple batters looked a little bit rough, but after that, I felt like he kind of reined it in a little bit and the command got a little bit better. Do you have any overall thoughts on Fetty as he's going, you know, he's coming in fresh. He's one of the new faces. I would imagine that probably Dylan Cease thinks that he's probably one of the top guys that would be underrated.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of like an under the radar signing. And I like that it wasn't like the White Sox all the way. There were other good organizations that tried to sign him. He chose to go to the White Sox because obviously they have like a free runway for him. Right. You know, people talk about Merrill Kelly, like on the high end, you know, like, look, I don't know. That would be tremendous. Right. But yeah. Even like some sort of middle ground where he's like a league average starter. I mean, that's a great deal. So, you know, and then ideally you get more pitching that pushes him further back in the rotation. I mean, my guess is he's their number two starter right now. So, you know, I think one of the interesting things, like Cease mentioned the guys like by name, and like, obviously we know, you know, Cease, Fetty, there's Soroka's going to be back, you know, and there's been some talk about him and having a different pitch mix or whatever. And then, you know, Kopech looks pretty good in short stints, you know, but then the last guy that he mentioned was Garrett Crochet. There was no mention of Chris Flexen. I'm assuming they didn't give Chris Flexen guaranteed money to like not start or piggyback or be like a big part of this. But I mean, it seems like the Garrett Crochet experiment is like happening, right? And I'm not going to say that it's like working. It's spring training. He looks really good. But it seems like they're going to give him like the opportunity to start. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means like Flexen throws after him or whatever, they're going to mix and match. But I just like thought it was interesting that C specifically talked about the starters and brought up Crochet with that.
Yeah. I'd like to take this time to formally apologize publicly to Garrett Crochet. I said that I didn't think that there was a chance in hell that he was going to end up as a major league starter. Now, you know, granted, we're talking 96 mile an hour Garrett Crochet, and he's been hitting as high as 100 miles an hour so far in spring training. So it is technically a different Garrett Crochet, but I didn't think that he had this in him. And you know, today here's the video from today. Just freezing Trout, and then he follows it up by freezing Rendon, and then he gets Ward as well. And granted, you know, like the strike zone today was a little bit less than consistent, I guess I could say. It was kind of all over the place. But, you know, he had two really nice innings today to follow up his you know, showing with the Dodgers, at least the one that we were able to watch. Yeah, I'd like just to formally apologize. I'm sorry, Garrett. I did not know your game. So it's nice to see this stuff. So, yeah, I'll just move away from that now because I embarrassed myself.
Well, no. So I do think, like, the thing that's going to be the most important, obviously, is, like, how well he can throw the changeup, right? I mean, and we saw this with, and look, I don't think he's, you know, I'm not going to compare him to Chris Sale, but I'm going to kind of compare him to how Chris Sale pitched. And he looked good for Atlanta today, too, by the way. Yes, it looks like the fountain of youth is here. But so I feel like, you know, remember, teams used to stack their lineup with righties against Chris Sale. And it makes sense, like, in, you know, a little bit. But then that opens up the change, like, because you have to throw that changeup to get righties out. He doesn't throw the changeup against lefties. I feel like Crochet will be similar. So if lineups do just say, like, well, screw this, like, you know, like, why even put a lefty in there? You know, if he can develop the, because he's thrown good changeups, he just doesn't throw them consistently. If he does, I mean, the sky is the limit, other than, like, innings limits, essentially, right? Because there is, like, a point where he's just going to be done. But I think that's the most important part of it, because it, like, fastball slider's fine, like, when he has his command, like, he's nasty. And you're going to have to throw a third pitch to get right-handers out. And I think he's going to face a lot of right-handers if he's in the starting rotation, because teams aren't even going to bother playing their lefties against him.
No. When you watch Shohei, who is, for his career, I think 0-for-5.
With 5Ks, right? Yeah, it's the best, yeah, and that's the best player on the planet, right? Like, yeah.
I think that it might be safe to say, although I will say Chenuel did pretty decent in driving up his pitch count a little bit. But, yeah, he just looks absolutely unhittable at this particular moment. But, you know, we are talking, again, yeah, we're talking about spring training. So, like, what does it really mean? I don't know. But at least seeing the velo up, and, you know, we had this conversation off air before stream that, you know, I kind of feel like maybe 60-40 between command and velocity are, like, the two real biggest factors here. And the fact that he's locating his pitches better this year than he was last year,
yeah,
paired with the additional, you know, 3 miles an hour or whatever on his fastball makes a big difference.
Well, like, you see the ball jump, right? There's, like, life on it, where when he was, like, kind of bad, there wasn't. And he's also, like, super stiff when he's bad. He seems to be, like, moving pretty well. I don't know if we can get into Bannister at some point. I mean, I've been kind of, that's the one thing where this offseason, like, as negative as it's gotten, I've just always been a big fan of that guy, and Chris Getz went and hired him, right? So I've always kind of in my back pocket been like, well, at least he was smart enough to hire that guy. And it seems like there might be some real dividends, like, being paid. Like, we'll see, you know, but it seems like some stuff that maybe seems obvious that hasn't been for, like, a decade. Maybe they're doing a little bit, and some of these guys have been pretty good.
Yeah. Moving back to Michael Kopech here a little bit. I haven't heard anything, as far as velocity goes, other than it's up a little bit. And he's also added a pitch. You know, we saw him the other day, and the first 17-ish, 18-ish pitches were, it was mentioned on the broadcast. It was kind of a little bit Nuke LaLucious, where, you know, you don't know where it's going. And it kind of, you know, caught the tip of Nick Madrigal's nose in the first at bat. And, but then he seemed to rein it in a little bit. I think that's a fairly interesting development. You know, if the White Sox can manage to have, you know, three solid starters out of all of these guys, I think that they can at least look competent as a baseball team. But again, where the run's going to come
right from. And that's the problem, obviously. But I mean, like, they have starters that, like, I would tune in to watch them pitch. Like, they really do. Like, especially if, like, if you're actually going to start Garrett Crochet, like, I'm going to watch. Like, I, you know, like, I will. And look, as Kopech is what he is, right? And, like, that's a guy who, you know, he usually either gives up five in the first inning or he's okay, right? Like, you can usually tell right away when he's off, and Dylan Cease is what he is. And then, like, I think Fetty and Soroka are interesting too, because – like Soroka's like career is essentially like on the line here. I mean, if he's not better, if he's not much better, I don't know really what that means for him going forward. He's still pretty young though, too. So, and then even like on top of that, like some of the guys that are going to be in Charlotte, like Nick Nastrini, Jake Eater, we'll see how that goes. And then like Jared Schuster looked pretty good the other day too. So, you know, I think those are your eight guys and that you'll go to war with. And, you know, the bullpen is what it is. I think there's some live arms in the bullpen. I don't know how many they'll start with the big league team. But yeah, I mean, the offense is very clearly like the biggest issue, like as we get started.
Yeah. I'm going to bring this up because you brought up Jared Schuster. And one of the things that was mentioned by Ethan Katz was the lack of deception that he had, kind of over the start of last year through last year, and was part of the issue with him dropping so far in the list on Atlanta's top prospects list. That got him there in the first place was the deception. And of course, you know, he pitches and we don't see it. And the thing I'm bringing up here is that the fact that the White Sox have seen fit to not broadcast a game since last Saturday. You know, we've been lucky enough that other teams do care about their product and making it available to their fans. So we've seen some of the stuff. What are your thoughts on the amount of games that they're broadcast, the lack of amount of games that they're broadcasting, and just the fact that they just don't seem to really care too much?
Yeah, so I've always kind of hated it. I mean, I complained a couple years ago when they were supposed to be really good and they're not showing spring training baseball. It's like people would watch this every day. I mean, obviously, you know, the guys that invented White Sox Daily, right, would watch every day and post highlights for all of us. So, no, I don't know. I mean, I had people that worked at NBC Sports Chicago, and they basically just said it's, like, not worth it for them to, like, do it because it's, like, expensive, essentially, and they don't feel like doing it, you know, because people have to watch, like, you know, Toledo against Northern Illinois women's basketball instead that's, like, being broadcast. But, I mean, you would think that, like, so what, right? So put it on the WhiteSox.com and have anyone do it. Just, like, have somebody sit there and do it, you know? It's, like, it just seems easy. Like, I don't need a whole production. Just put turn a camera on, you know? And that's, you know, that's pretty much it. So, and I haven't really paid attention. Does Marquee do all of them?
If not all, it's a lot.
Yeah, so like teams that have their own station, you know, essentially. And that was like one of my biggest gripes was that, you know, NBC Sports Chicago is supposedly like the home of the White Sox, right? So like, why don't you broadcast more games? But it's just never really been a priority. And obviously like these early spring games are more interesting for guys like us who, you know, are like looking at prospects. I mean, obviously like 2 weeks from now when it's like basically the big league team and they're playing preseason games, it's like not that big of a deal. But you know, it's interesting now when you get 70 guys in camp and well, they're dropping like flies. So I don't know what, maybe 65 now. I don't know. Like there's quite a few injuries, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely people that would watch, right? But if it was worth it, I guess like they'd be doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, I you know, one thing that I did hear brought up that I thought that was maybe a reasonable, you know, reason why they didn't do it was just advertising dollars, the fact that they couldn't find advertising dollars at that time. But I had this conversation with Beefloaf and the earlier today that, you know, I don't need a play-by-play guy. Just go ahead and put an intern, a production intern, in a booth that can change several fixed camera angles and can mentally, you know, make the decision, this is the angle that we should go with here, and just put them in there and then just broadcast it as a webcast. And that's one thing, like the webcasts are just non-existent. Like they just, for whatever reason this year, they just are not doing them at all. So
yeah, and so what do you think? Like, obviously, like, we don't have this news yet, right? And I don't know if it's happening, but like, if the White Sox just all of a sudden are playing their games like on Stadium next year because Jerry Reinsdorf owns it. Like, do you think this is something that would change, or is it just like because it's, or does he not care? Like, I don't know. Like, if it was all his, would he do it? I don't know. You know, I think like for Comcast SportsNet or NBC Sports Chicago, it might not be worth like having employees come in to do, right? But if it's like on Stadium, like they could just play a webcast or something. I don't really know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like I said, I don't need a play-by-play guy. I don't need anybody talking to me, telling me about a ground ball from, you know, from Brooks Baldwin or something like that, you know, that's playing in the ninth inning of a spring training game. I don't need that. That's fine. But at least being able to see what's going on in a game would be pretty nice to have, you know, and the fact that, you know, we're going on, I think it's 10 days in between broadcasts.
Yeah.
Like, that's just absurd.
Well, I mean, it's like Major League Baseball in general too, right? I don't know if you listen ever, but I listened to Carlos Collazo and Ben Badler's like Baseball America podcast, and they were talking about the other day, the Pirates and Nationals had their like prospect game or whatever that was happening. And Paul Skeens started and faced Dylan Cruz. And it's like not available anywhere. Like people would watch that. Like what? Like absolutely. They just like, you know, it's like put it on anywhere, somewhere, you know? And it's just like, I don't even know if Pirates fans could access it, but it's just crazy.
Yeah. And you know, I always say this every time I say, well, you know what? The White Sox aren't broadcasting that many games, but at least I'm not a Reds fan because they don't broadcast anything. It's always radio. So, all right, moving along here. Do you have, I mean, we've been watching this offense for, you know, roughly a week and a half now. About the only people that are really seeming to make a dent here are Eloy and I guess Gavin Sheets, I suppose you could say, because I think he's batting somewhere around 400. Do you have anything that sticks out to you offensively with this team so far?
Nope, it's going to be bad. They need Luis Robert to be awesome, obviously. A bounce back from Moncada and Eloy being healthy would be nice, because then maybe you're not absolutely horrible. You're just like a little bit bad. But I mean, look, there's really no way to shake like what like the 6-9 is going to look like, right? Like the pitching, I don't think is going to be as bad as most people are expecting. I think the defense is going to be pretty good despite like what we've seen in spring training. But yeah, like you're not going to score that many runs. So you better be able to pitch and play defense. Otherwise it's going to be like really, really ugly. You know, you'd like to see something out of Andrew Vaughn at some point. Otherwise I don't really know like what we're doing here, but I try not to overreact to spring training, and the guys don't play like a full game or any of that. But I mean, it doesn't really seem like there's like jobs on the line either, right? I mean, the team is like kind of the team. And when your middle infield is Paul DeJong and Nicky Lopez and your catcher situation is what it is, you know, and you've been attendee in an outfield corner, I mean, it's not great. So.
Yeah. Like we say, where are the runs going to come from? You know, when you average, what, 3.95 runs a game last year, and then you don't add, and I mean, I guess you didn't really subtract anything either, but you're expecting bounce backs from your, you know, a couple of your major players and hoping that they play well enough that you can do what, trade them?
I don't,
at this point, I don't know what to expect out of this team if they do start playing well.
Hopefully Colson Montgomery is really good.
Yeah.
Hope, but hope is not a plan. So, you know,
hope is not a plan. Is Jesse Chavez off the team again?
Well, I mean, as long as he doesn't have to pitch against the Cubs anymore, he's probably okay. But I don't know. I'm kind of interesting to see like how it all shakes out. I mean, some of the guys that, like, I think some people kind of thought like when Joe Barlow was signed, like that he'd be on the team, but he's hurt. Jimmy Lambert's hurt and out of options. It doesn't seem super serious, but I mean, you know, maybe that's like a DL stint of some kind. I mean, obviously you're going to have some guys on the 60-day. We're not going to have to roster Shane Drouin. to the start or for the start, and Foster will go on the 60 and Davis Martin will go on the 60 most likely. So it opens up some spots. So, I mean, like Jesse Chavez seems like Corey Knebel. They're talking about him as if like he's going to be part of the team. But other than that, I don't really know. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are a little bit interesting, like Davey Garcia is out of options. Mm-hmm. Like, does he make it? Has Tukey Toussaint pitched at all? Like, is he like a long man, you know? Like, I mean, I don't really know, you know, like,
yeah.
So is he like your long guy? And then obviously there are like three, I think, really interesting potential high leverage types. And I don't know if any of them are going to start in the big leagues, and Jordan Leisure, Prelander, Baroa, and Alex Spies. So I just don't know. All those guys have options. So do they go with some of the vets to start? I don't know. That's going to be, those are like the interesting storylines when your team's going to win like 63 games.
Yeah. To answer the Tukey Toussaint thing, he pitched a game earlier this week, and he came in and loaded the bases, and I don't think he got anybody out in the first inning that he pitched. They took him out and then replaced him, and then they brought him back for a second inning. The next inning, and he loaded the bases again. Did not look particularly good, and I don't know. We'll see, you know, if, hopefully that improves, but it did not look good for old Tukey. So the White Sox made a trade and sent one of the high schoolers that they drafted when they were supposedly getting young in the farm system, and send Matthew Thompson to the Cubs and receive Bailey Hornback, who they drafted in 2020 with the fifth pick. Your thoughts on that deal?
So I was fine with it. I mean, it just seems like they're kind of trading guys who they don't think are ever going to be anything for guys that they think are something. I mean, Bailey Horn's probably going to pitch out of their bullpen this year. The one thing about Bailey Horn, the White Sox drafted him as a starter out of Auburn in 2020. He always had decent numbers like in their system, but then when he got traded to the Cubs, they moved him to relief and they taught him a monster sweeper. So he's got really good stuff. If he's fastball, sweeper, slider, he doesn't throw strikes all the time, which is like the biggest issue, obviously. But I mean, when you hire a Brian Bannister, these are like the types of things that you do. You bet on stuff because he, you know, has been known to fix command. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. They clearly didn't have plans for Matthew Thompson. You know, I will say Matthew Thompson, Andrew Dahlquist, Jared Kelly, like it definitely didn't work. The pandemic really, really killed those guys. Now, would it have mattered? I don't know. You know, I don't know that Matthew Thompson was ever going to throw enough strikes to be anything more than like a middle reliever anyway, even if he does make it. Cause I mean, he's one of the most athletic pitchers that they had in their system. And you go catch him on the right night and he looks like a number two starter, but he's just not consistent. He doesn't keep his velocity into starts. It's just too many walks. So yeah, I mean, I think they got a guy that's going to help them in some capacity that's useful soon. And they probably didn't really give up anything. I mean, yeah, it's the 45th pick in the 2019 draft, which kind of sucks in hindsight, but I mean, it is kind of what it is at this point.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of the way you have to look at it, is that, you know, maybe they get something useful in the near future. And, you know, the whole thing with Matthew Thompson is, you know, you get a Matthew Thompson start and probably what you're going to get is you're going to get three really good innings, and you're going to get two innings where things fall off the rails, you know, and there's going to be some walks and there's going to be some runs scored and probably a couple of home runs as well. And I think that's essentially, you know, trading, you know, high upside possibility reliever for a guy that, you know, maybe you're hoping can be a fifth starter just because the consistency hasn't been there.
Yeah. And it is like, it's just more of, and I feel like this is stuff that they did not do in 2017, 2018, 2019, when they were like bad on purpose. And it's something like Beefloaf and Chirizzi always talked about, like they like roster churn. Like there's no reason to not just like see different guys in roster spots like 33 through 40, like when you're horrible, and like they're finally doing it. Like it just see, and you know, like look, they could make a move or two here where we're like, oh man, like they got rid of that guy off the 40. But I mean, like, this is the time. Like, some guys on waivers that you like a little bit, like, okay, like claim him and see what he is. I mean, this is like the whole point. And I feel like Kenny and Rick, like, never, ever did this. It was just like, oh, these are the guys that we have. Like, your Romy Gonzalez and all your guys that they believe in. Like, I get believing in your own guys, but it's like at a certain point, like, you know, this is like the perfect opportunity to find like some diamond in the rough somewhere that could help you, right? I mean, it's like, we didn't even know who the hell Alex Spies was, and I think he might end up helping him. You know, how many other times can that happen? Like, it could happen. Like, you just got to keep claiming guys and making small trades, and you just have to be right in your assessments of like the guys that you give up on, essentially.
Yeah, Alex Spies has looked great in spring training. I mean, you know, again, spring training, but he's, you know, nice velocity, and the command's been fairly decent. One thing that they brought up on the Rangers broadcast a few days ago was that, you know, the command was always hit or miss with him. And, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to say that he's Thiago Vieira, or, you know, so I think that, you know, he could certainly become a useful piece and be something that, you know, they could stash in their bullpen and get some meaningful innings out of. Now, you know, I heard somebody bring up the other day, you know, about saves with the White Sox and who is going to be the closer. And my thinking on that was, well, if you're only going to win 60 games or 55 games, I'm not really worried about how many saves anybody's going to get, because you have to have a lead in order to get a save. So, yeah. And I'm not really worried. I don't think that's going to happen.
Who's going to lead the White Sox in saves? It's a super interesting trivia. Like, you know, like, is it like Jordan Leisure because of late in the year? Or, I mean, look, there, Dylan Cease has a 3-run lead in the 3-1 lead in the ninth, like on opening day. Like, I mean, I feel like it's probably John Brebbia if he's healthy, you know, like, it's,
yeah,
just,
he's,
you know,
also interesting.
Yeah. He's hurt too. Like, they're all hurt. Yeah. I know these guys are dropping like flies right now, you know, it's, you know, so I don't know. I mean, look, there's no reason for Jordan Leisure to not be the closer at some point this year, right? How soon is that? I don't know. But I mean, who freaking cares, right? Like, I mean, Baroa and Leisure, like, get those guys in the back end and see if they're worth anything. And if they're really good, you trade them too for 4 more prospects that can help you, because you always trade relievers.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, you know, that was the whole thing that was really curious about spending 40% of your payroll on relievers when you can just put it together like this. So, so we have some interesting news on somebody that a lot of people are down on, and that is Jacob Gonzalez. Do you want to inform people of what's going on here?
Yeah. Do you have? Are you going to show the tweet or not, or do you have it or not? I don't know if you have
I
it,
do. But, okay. Give me 1 second.
Yeah. So I had heard good stuff, like just that he looked better in instructs, there was a swing change, but I hadn't seen anything. You know, I just kind of heard from people that saw him that said that it's a lot different. And Aram Layton of Just Baseball is like on the White Sox backfields and like took some video of him on Twitter. And look, I think it's up for debate. And you would actually know more than me on this, Ian, I think, like, you know, how much power this sort of swing can provide. But the swing definitely looks better than it did before, where he's just like totally turned to the one side and you're like, oh my God, what did they just do? So I do know people that I trust said, oh yeah, he looks much better. So for whatever that's worth, now we can like put our eyes on it too.
Yeah. So what I will say about Jacob Gonzalez's swing last year was more that, you know, it's not that he looked like uncomfortable in the box. And when he would swing, he would fall away from home plate. And it was really awkward looking. It was like almost like he was trying to be Ichiro, but trying to swing with power. And it's like, it's kind of one of those things where I was just like, that's not going to work very well, you know, to drive the ball. And That's about that. He did not look good from people, you know, from what I saw last year. And I know a lot of scouts said some things and were not thrilled with what he was doing out there, and got some really bad reviews. So,
well, guys like Keith Law said, like Scott, like it was one of like the worst pro debuts of a high level college guy in a while. And a lot of that stuff gets thrown out the window because it like in the draft season, it's tough, right? But like he looked so bad that they made it a point to like say it. The one thing I will say, he did walk 20 times. And he can play shortstop, even though he's a 45 runner. So I don't know, like how much power does he need to be a useful big leaguer? I don't know. And I know, look, that's not the goal at 15. Like it's not, but you know, like if he can play shortstop and he gets on base, like how much power does he need to have? I'm not really sure. I'm curious to see him this year and, you know, kind of find out. Cause like, this is a guy with a lot of pedigree, but then you watch him and you're just like, how, you know? So it was just really like strange. Well, so beef asked, like Jacob Gonzalez allegedly added strength. Like that's what was written. I mean, he looks like a little bit thicker, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge fan of like when I meet with the media post draft, you know, when the White Sox actually give me permission to join the beat writers on draft calls. And, you know, that's when I'm allowed into the party and your scouting director is like already talking about swing changes with his first round pick. I mean, it's, not great, you know, and they said that they were at the combine and talked hitting with him and the Sox are notorious for just like letting a guy kind of go out and do what they do and fail. And boy, did he. So, you know, but there were, you know, there were positive instructs reports. And now I think we're maybe seeing why a little bit.
Yeah, he does look a lot more athletic and the swing looks a lot more compact and looks like his balance is definitely a lot better. You know, it doesn't look like he's about, you know, ready to start running to the dugout behind him mid swing, you know, which is essentially what it looked like. I will say, though, you know, that I thought the glove looked pretty decent. So, but I will concur that I was not impressed with the bat last year at all.
Yeah. And I think the biggest question, like, can a 45 runner play shortstop? I don't know. I mean, he was the shortstop on Team USA. So, like, it's just a really strange profile. We've kind of talked about why, you know, why we thought that pick was made and how it actually happened. So hopefully they can salvage something. My guess is he goes to Winston-Salem, and you know, I'm sure you'll have plenty of video on him, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, there'll be plenty out there. So moving along here, let's talk about it's our top 30 season over at Future Sox, and a bunch of us got together and did a bunch of top 30 lists, and those will be out. The individual ones will be out, you know, in a little while. But tomorrow morning, the just miss list is coming out, and let's go ahead and talk about that. Do you have anything, you know, a guy in particular that you want to start with off of this list? It's a nice long list.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have Alex Spies on it, you know, and I will say, like, Fangraphs ranked Alex Spies, like, 11th in the White Sox system, I think. And, like, I think that's more so just Eric Longenhagen's, like, role system that he uses. Like, you know, if he thinks a guy is, like, a 45 or a 50 reliever, I mean, they're going to rank highly, like, in the system. So, you know, regardless of, like, whether we think a reliever is important or not, that sort of thing happens. I will say this list ended up being a lot of relievers and catchers. I think Brooks Baldwin is interesting. I put him on my top 30. I think he played some shortstop last year. He can play all over the place. Like, I think, you know, in the mold of guys the White Sox have gotten to the majors, you know, I think obviously Romy fell a little bit on his face. Danny Mendick has had an okay big league career for, you know, being like a 22nd rounder or whatever he was. I just think it's kind of like, you know, Brooks Baldwin is going to play in the majors. Is it as a utility guy? Maybe. But I mean, he's pretty interesting and he could be in Birmingham. And then just like some of the young international guys that are on the list, you know, like a Luis Reyes was their biggest signing last year, pitcher out of Dominican Republic, wasn't great in the Dominican Summer League, but I mean, we'll kind of see him right away in Arizona. there. And then I guess what? There's a couple others, like Christian Apor has ranked on other outlets top 30. He didn't really make ours, but he's super interesting too. I mean, he was their fifth rounder this year, signed for 550K. He was a Wisconsin high school guy that they've wanted in the past and got him. So he could soar up. I mean, if you told me Christian Apor was 20 on our midseason list, like I'd believe it. It's just, you know, I think once you do the composite of what we did, like some other guys ranked ahead of him, but there's 20 names. You know, you could quibble with five to seven of them that should be on the 30. Who knows? I mean, everybody has like different opinions on that, but you know, I will say, I mean, there was 20 guys worth like me writing about. So I guess that means the system's a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are those guys that, you know, on this list, there's guys that that previously were in the top 30. And there's some new names that maybe some people don't know. You know, you mentioned, what was that, Reyes? And then you've got Ronnie Hernandez, you know, catcher, young. You know, maybe people don't know about him. He's on there. And then you know, you got your Jared Kellys and
yes,
you know, stuff like that. So I think it's definitely there are some names on there and some guys that you can hold out hope on that could possibly provide some value to the White Sox at some point.
Well, and the White Sox had no catching at midseason last year, and they have what, Caro? You know, spoiler alert, like Caro will be on the actual list. Corey Lee has graduated from prospectdom. But then there's four more on the just missed, you know? So, you know, they have some catching depth. I know you're a big Michael Turner guy. Ronnie Hernandez was on the most recent pipeline list. I don't know that he'll be on. So I think pipeline's list comes out Tuesday. We can talk about that next week. Kind of with ours. He was on theirs at midseason or whenever the last time they updated theirs was. And he's an 18-year-old catcher. So, you know, and then in a like Hackenberg is in there. And so, yeah, a little bit, you know, and Calvin Harris, they took in the fourth round last year. So they actually have some real catchers like for like the first time in a while.
Yeah. I mean, Calvin Harris made top 30, you know, other people's top 30. So, you know, I personally, you know, like I, you know, you said I'm a big Michael Turner guy. I put him in my top 30. You know, he's like towards the lower side because he is an older guy, but I tend to kind of gravitate more towards seeing people actually do things than just, you know, thinking about what they possibly could be after seeing them not do that in other leagues, you know? So
for sure,
that's kind of where I get my stuff from. But
the only issue with Turner is that he's going to have to split time with Caro because you're going to have, I mean, you're going to have Corey Lee and Hackenberg at Charlotte, most likely, with Turner and Caro at Birmingham. Calvin Harris has to basically play primarily at Winston, and Ronnie Hernandez will be in Canny. So, you know, maybe Michael Turner plays some first, maybe those guys DH, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's not a bad thing. Like, they've had no catchers before, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, you know, this is kind of one of the things that I was thinking about is that with Caro being around, you know, Michael Turner is going to have to find some playing time somewhere. And if it's, you know, the fact that they kept him in Winston-Salem, I believed was because they grabbed Caro and they didn't want to put him at advanced A. So, yeah, we'll see where, you know, like what that means for him coming up in the next season. I'm interested to see.
So. Well, and how much do the guys ahead of Caro, I guess, just like not on the depth chart, right? Like Caro's more important than Hackenberg and Corey Lee. But I mean, if it's Maldonado and Stacy in the big leagues and Caro's ready to make the jump to Charlotte, you know, like whose playing time is he taking? That's just another, you know, like Hackenberg's probably a backup in the big leagues. I don't even know if Corey Lee's that. So, you know, who knows? I'm sure they can function with all of those guys, but
yeah,
it'll just be interesting to kind of see.
Yeah, I think the Hackenberg thing is interesting, because he did make a change to his approach with the bat, and you know, more for a contact thing as opposed to trying to hit for, you know, so much power. So I'm interested to see, you know, like how he comes into this season and see what happens with the numbers, mm-hmm. because all, you know, if what has been, what he's been doing so far, if that doesn't improve, you are absolutely looking at a, you know, Martin Maldonado type guy. You know, he's going to be a defense guy that's going to hit you, you know, 200 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to have to rely on that.
But as an 18th rounder out of Clemson, that's fine. Like, that works, you know.
100%. So. Yeah. They
do. And I would actually prefer the other approach, right? Like, I'd prefer he hit 235 and hit bombs and be good defensively than the other way around, especially for like a backup. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, we'd have to see him hit 235 in the majors to begin with. So, yep. You know, yeah. So we also have coming out this week, we have the top 30s coming out this week. What's the schedule look like for that on the release?
So Tuesday, we'll get 16 through 30. I will figure out how to get 1 through 30 to the Patreon subscribers. Like, on Tuesday, they'll get the whole list, but everybody will get the whole list Wednesday. And then for Friday, I will have like a mailbag that I always do. Like, so I'll post questions on Twitter and just like answer those like in a post essentially too. So, and then, you know, we'll have our normal podcasts for the week, and then anything else that pops up. The five of us that did rankings, at some point we'll post our individual lists for Patreon subscribers too.
Yeah, that would be, you know, it'd be nice to get those guys on here as well, because I want to hear, I wouldn't mind hearing some you know, grilling some of these guys on what's going on. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Sleepy. You hear me. You got anything else for this week, James?
You know, maybe just touch a little bit on, you know, I'm always like willing to talk draft. I know a few weeks ago, and even like dating back to the draft lottery, and, you know, we've made comments about how it's like, not a great draft class, and it's, you know, a first baseman up there and a couple of second basemen. Draft class looks pretty good at the top, Ian. Like, the college pitching is out like in full force, and sometimes this happens, you know, where it's just like guys just, you know, come on like super late. And Hagen Smith looks like freaking Carlos Rodon at NC State. I mean, he just looks awesome. And, you know, the other guys that we've talked about here, and Travis Bazana looks out of his mind, and Connor Griffin has like 75 stolen bases already in like a week playing high school baseball in Mississippi. So insane. So basically what it all means is the White Sox are going to get somebody really good with the fifth pick. We talked about this a little bit with Joe Doyle. I think there's some teams in front of them that will not take one of the pitchers. So I think if you, like, you know, made me choose today, I'd say they're probably going to take a college pitcher, because I don't think those two guys are definitely going to go in front of them, and they won't be afraid to do it. But who knows? I mean, it just looks a lot more interesting than I was anticipating, you know, it looking maybe like a month ago.
Yeah. It's definitely gotten a lot more interesting than I was thinking it was going to right off the bat. And I knew that there would be, you know, like a couple of guys that were going to push themselves up there and we're going to look really good. But I mean, there's been some really good performances that I'm like, oh, okay, I was not expecting that. And mm-hmm. one of them that I was not expecting was 41 stolen bases from Connor Griffin in 14 days.
Insanity. Yeah. And that's, so that's Warren Hughes's area. We've talked about Warren quite a bit. He had like four of the five picks last year, and I joked about it with Mike Shirley when I talked to him. And look, it's not, you know, it's not like, you know, some sort of like favoritism thing or whatever. There was good players in Louisiana and Mississippi last year, and he got all of them. But he's, you know, he might have a couple more this year. Like, I wonder how many of these games you go to, and if you even, because, you know, like typically in these areas, like I remember when Gorman played like in Arizona, and scouts would go see him and they just like walk him every time in high school, you know, like I don't even know, like how is Connor Griffin getting on base so often? Like what are these teams doing? Just like put him, I mean, but I guess if you put him at first, he's going to be on third in like a millisecond. So that, exactly. I mean, that's probably the issue.
Yeah. Two pitches max and he's at third base.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if not even one, if there's a wild pitch, he's at third base. So yeah.
Yeah. Who clutch hat trick asks, who did list? Me, Ian did a list. Elijah did a list. Sleepy did a list. Jasper. And then Jasper Ruse did one as well. Jasper's back with us. So yeah, that was good. And then maybe at midseason we might get a couple others. I know Danny Miller was going to contribute, and then, you know, kind of something came up and he didn't, but you know, and then, you know, I just essentially take an aggregate of all of our lists, like based on prospect points. So the easiest way to explain it is like, if all of us have Colson Montgomery as the top prospect, he gets 30 points. So for a total of 150, and then, you know, you just kind of go from there and rank it. And then we kind of talk after and tweak some stuff that doesn't look quite right. But, you know, we landed on 30. I'm sure everybody will agree with all 30 in the order we put them in. So we are looking forward to hearing everybody on socials. Just kind of tell us what we got wrong and what we got correct. And, you know, it's fine. It's part of it.
Yeah, I'm 100% expecting to get told quite a bit. So when people see my list, that's fine.
And that's just from friends and family of the players. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'll get some happy stuff and some people saying, "What are you doing? Why isn't my kid on there?" Well, you know, there's only 30 spots. Sorry. Anything else? You good?
Yeah, all good.
Let's see. Oh
no, 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 they did not. But
I mean, just my list will be out this week.
they ranked him higher than Braden Shoemake, that's for sure. So
that is true. I did rate him higher than Braden Shoemake. You good, James?
I'm all good, sir.
All right. So this podcast will be available on any platform that you go looking for a podcast. You can also see it if you are listening to this in podcast form. Notice that you can also watch it on YouTube and on Twitch on Sunday nights at 8. FutureSox.net, you will be able to find our top 30 list. Tomorrow you will be able to find the Just Miss list that's got about, 20 guys on it, James? 20 guys, and staggered through the week. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, you will be able to get the list top 30 later on in the week. What is that, on Wednesday, that 30 through 16 is coming out? So yeah, we're staggering that out, and then is it Friday that the other 15 are coming? Okay.
Friday, and, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday. And then there's like a mailbag Friday.
Yes, that's what it is. Mailbag Friday. And obviously, if you are interested in that Mailbag Friday, you can support us on Patreon and hit us up through Future Sox. Maybe if you bother James enough in his on his Twitter account, at JamesFox917, maybe he will be willing to answer any of those questions. My name is Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. We appreciate all your time. Thanks for coming in and listening. And we will catch up with you guys next week, Sunday at 8 p.m. on YouTube and Twitch. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Bye-bye.